now it's time for Rod and Reel Radio with your hosts, Hopalong John Cassidy, fresh and saltwater expert angler Stan Vanderberg, and all-around outdoors fishing and hunting enthusiast Wendy Toshihara. If you love the outdoors, enjoy salt or freshwater fishing, this is the show for you. We'll cover most all of the fishing tournaments and events with special reports while providing you with the information you need as to how and where to experience the best fishing opportunities in Southern California, Baja, Alaska, or just about anywhere the fish are biting. We have some fantastic guests and reports lined up for you this evening, so sit back, relax, and get ready for the fastest 2 hours in radio. It's all right here, right now, on Rod and Reel Radio, the best stop on your radio dial for all the information you need for fishing opportunities all over the United States. Now here's your host, Hopalong John Cassidy.
Well, thank you, Mark Larson, and Southern California, welcome again to another live edition of Rod and Reel Radio. Hey, tonight it is my pleasure to be broadcasting to you live from the Radio Zion AM 540 studios in Downey, California. Usually sitting across from me is a computer screen, but tonight I get to look at the handsome engineer we call Israel. So, Israel, thank you for letting us be here in the studios tonight and working with us. Hey, we have a fantastic show lined up for you tonight. It's going to be fun. It's going to be informative. Let me tell you right now what is in store for you. As a lot of you know, recreational lobster hooping season opened up this past Saturday at 6 p.m., and what better guy to have with us than Jeff Hunt from the Lobster Port out of Oceanside? Jeff is going to tell us about some of the particulars that we should know to make this season successful, some of the things we should know to make sure that we are legal, and maybe give us some hints that we can pick up on gear that maybe you didn't even know existed that you can find at the Lobster Port. So Jeff Hunt will be our first guest. And then coming up later in the hour, we are going to have the organizer of the 2022 Black Bass World Championships. This is the 16th edition of the Black Bass Championships. It has literally been held all around the world. This year, it's going to be located at Lake Murray in North Carolina. So we're going to be talking with John Knight, the organizer of this event, and find out what it's all about. This is a really big Olympic-style event that you're going to want to hear about, and it's regarding bass fishing. And then later on at 6 o'clock hour, we're going to bring on our good friend Jimmy Houston. Jimmy's got a new program that he's starting up. We're going to catch up with him. Also today, he was in Alabama, I think, to the memorial for Ray Scott. We're going to catch up with him on that. And then hopefully he's heard something from Roland Martin. Roland lives in Fort Myers, Florida. And as we all know, Fort Myers was rather adversely affected by Hurricane Ian that went through there just a couple of days ago. So Jimmy Houston is going to be with us in the second half of the show. Well, let's get rolling, because I know I've got a ton of questions for this next guest, and you're going to want to hear what he has to say. It's our good friend Jeff Hunt from the Lobster Port out of Oceanside. Jeff, a very good evening to you, sir.
Hey, John. Thanks again for having me this year.
Well, so thanks. Thanks for being with us. Jeff, before we start giving away all your secrets, let's talk about last season. You know, last season, how did that compare in your minds or what you've seen from any records to seasons before that?
Well, I think last season, it was a lot like the brief season before, where we had some decent months, some great weekends, some fantastic fishing during the weekdays. The only thing that we didn't see that I recall from previous years is that we didn't see a whole lot of rain, a whole lot of weather towards the end of the season, which tends to kind of pick things up for commercial and recreation lobster fishing. So we'll see what this year brings in store for us. But it still was a pretty solid finish to last year. But I believe that the whole season, from what I recall, was pretty spectacular.
Now, were there any projections on how this season would be? Because obviously we are kind of in the minus department when it comes to rain. Water temperature makes a big difference, and we do have an ocean that has different water temperature than last year. What was the projection for this season?
Well, from what I understand from the preseason, I asked a couple of the divers what they saw on the seafloor, and they said that it looked very good going into the season. And judging by the catch reports last night, just by digging around social media today and kind of monitoring and seeing what was going on, some of the Facebook pages, it did look like a pretty solid opener last night. Not a whole lot of limits for groups, but a decent take with some pretty nice-looking larger lobsters as well.
Well, Jeff, let's start getting down to the nitty-gritty then, because obviously there are a lot of listeners out there that have many seasons behind them, recreational lobster hooping, but there could be a big group of people there that this is the year they're going to go out and do it. So what I want to do is we're going to go down a bullet list over here, and let's talk about some of the things that people need, and I'm going to let you report on them. And probably the first thing is the licenses you need. Tell us about the license requirements.
Well, everyone needs to have their California fishing license if you're 16 and over. And you're going to fish anywhere outside or beside a pier. A pier you can fish for lobster and regular recreational fishing without the California license. However, you do need to have that report card no matter where you're fishing or your age. If you're under 16, if you're not necessarily required to have a fishing license, you do still need to have the California lobster report card.
Well, those are
the two of the most important things to have.
Well, that lobster report card too, there is more to that lobster report card than just having the card. And there's a number of things that you have to do that maybe the fishermen are not really familiar with, and that's how to fill out the card. And the first thing is how do you fill it out? What's the first thing you've got to do just before you put your boat in the water and you start going after those bugs?
Well, the first thing you want to do when you have your lobster report card is to have your pen handy that's going to write on that effectively. And even before you head off the boat, take the boat off of the trailer in the harbor, off the launch ramp or from your slip, you need to fill out the first four spaces on your uppermost, I guess it would be the line on your report card. And that's going to be the day of the month, also the gear used and your location. And all the reference pieces to your report card are going to be on the bottom. So you'll see what kind of gear use you're going to have, whether it's hoop nets, flat nets, tank assist diving, or snorkeling, or whatever. And then you're also going to have your gear your location, and that's going to be, I think, up to 1 through 60 different zones along the Southern California coast.
So a lot of people don't realize what you're saying is that even before you get to your first destination, you have to have your intended destinations filled out on your lobster card even before you even get there. Am I understanding that correctly?
That's correct. And everyone that is going to be participating in the take of lobsters is required to have that all filled out as well. Even if you're driving the boat, even if you're holding a flashlight, it's a good policy to have everyone on the boat that is going to be helping you with fishing to have all that same information written out.
And then the other thing about the report card that, you know, it seems to be a little cumbersome is that before you leave your first location, you have to document your card on what you're taking from that location. Jeff, is that all lobsters that you've caught, or just the ones you're taking?
It's going to be the ones that you're going to keep in possession. And depending on your group, you can, you know, one, you can split it up evenly between the members of your group, or one person can say, I caught all these lobsters, so I'm going to keep them. So that's entirely up to you how you can do that. But if you do move from one zone to another, you do need to complete that first zone and then start that exact same information on the next line down with your new zone that you're going into. And it might even just be like going from a 30 to a 31, which would be Oceanside Pier to Dana, for example, between those two spots. And so that you have your, when you get to your next, when you get to your second spot, you're going to have your entire first line or most recent line completely filled out with your original four items that you put in there, plus the amount of lobsters that you are taking for your own personal take.
Now, this lobster card at the end of the season has to be submitted to the Department of Fish and Wildlife. But if a fisherman bought a lobster card in 2022 and did not submit it to the Department of Fish and Wildlife, even though he did not catch anything, the department has a little surprise in store for them when they apply for their 2022-2023 card, do they not?
Yeah, you're pretty much going to be buying an agent a lunch for about $20. So yeah, if you misplace your card or you or forget to submit it, I think by 30 days after the season is over, it gives you that terminal date on the license report card, and you can fill it out either digitally, which is pretty easy to do online. You'll get a confirmation code, so you can write that on the top of your license and file it away, or you could go ahead and mail it in. Both those addresses, the digital address is going to be on there as well as the physical address.
Now, Jeff, we know that we can replace our regular fishing license if it is lost or damaged or whatever. What about the lobster report card? Is there a rule on that?
When you replace your lobster report card, if you misplace that, unfortunately, you will have to file that $20 for not turning in that license that's missing. So it's an unfortunate penalty that you have to pay, but you can still fish with a second license or an additional one if you lose it, the report card.
Well, let's get down to some of the fun stuff now. First of all, if we are successful, what is the number of lobsters that each person can keep? Has that changed since last year?
No, I think it's been pretty consistent for as long as I can remember. It's going to be seven lobsters in possession, which is a pretty good amount. It's definitely enough for a family. If you're with a couple friends and you've all got seven, that's a spectacular night. That's for sure. And it's something to talk about and brag about, because it doesn't happen every night.
No. Even though, again, on social media, I've heard a lot of people say that they actually got their limits in the first couple of pulls. And that brings me to the next question. The limit is a possession limit. So does that include lobsters that you might have from previous trips in your freezer, or is that what's in possession the day you're fishing?
Yeah, so possession is definitely going to be enforced as the amount that you have on hand, in addition to whatever you might have at home in the freezer. It comes down to enforcement policy on that aspect of it. My suggestion is to stick to that as much as possible. And I don't know what would trigger an enforcement policy on something like that, whether it's a bad report. Or someone that, who knows, maybe has 60 complete sevens filled out from day one to the second month in. So, yeah, it's a seven possession. I would say stay with that. That's a lot of lobsters.
Well, you had mentioned just briefly that fishermen can also recreational hoop from piers, but those requirements are just a little bit different than regarding how many traps they can have. And just refresh our memories on fishing from a pier, what we can and cannot do.
Well, if you're fishing from a pier, which is a lot of fun, typically you're going to bring your family out or fish with a couple of friends. It's more of a social, fishery where it could be, you know, a couple groups together having fun. But some of the main differences between that and heading out on your kayak or a smaller boat or with a group on a little bit bigger boat is that you can only fish a maximum of two gear items. And those gear items can be two hoop nets, or it could be a hoop net and a fishing rod. So that while you're fishing for lobster, you can, you know, maybe catch some mackerel or whatnot with your fishing rod. The other thing that's different about another rule change or a rule difference between fishing on a pier versus fishing where you would need to drop your gear off and then tend to it later is that you don't need to have that buoy with your Go ID number on there. And the reason for that is because technically you're right there with your gear. So you're tending your gear 100% of the time. And if there is an agent on the pier kind of just monitoring things, they'll know exactly whose gear it is because it's probably only just a few feet from it.
Jeff, that's great information. Hey, we've got to take a commercial break right now. Can I ask you to stay with us a little bit longer? Because there's still a ton of questions, and you might even have a story or two for us when it comes to catching.
Absolutely. I'm lobsessed right now, so absolutely.
Okay. Hey, we're speaking with Jeff Tunt from the Lobster Port in Oceanside. Stay tuned. There's still a lot more Rod and Reel Radio to come after these messages.
Hi, Roland Martin here. I'd like to tell you a little about Gary Yamamoto and the Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait Company. It all started with an idea, then a dream, and in 1983, the Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait Company was formed. If you know Gary Yamamoto like I do, and I've known him since 1983, you know he has a passionate love for the sport of fishing. That love is only matched by his obsession to design and produce the highest quality soft-plastic fishing lures on the market today. Every bait Gary makes is inspected by hand. Today, more than 2.5 million packages of bait are shipped worldwide. On behalf of Gary and his staff, he wants to thank his customers for thinking so highly of his products and wishing you the great success at the sport of fishing. Whether you fish for fun or fish the tournament circuits like I do, you'll honor Gary for making Gary Yamamoto Custom Baits a key part of your fishing experience. Take it from me, Roland Martin. When I'm in need of a go-to bait, my first choice is a Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait.
Turner's Outdoorsman, California's number one fishing, hunting, and shooting sports retailer, now has 28 locations. Turner's is your one-stop shop for fishing tackle, hunting gear, and everything for shooting sports. Turner's offers a full selection and unmatched prices on the gear you need. Whether you're planning a fishing trip with the family or chasing giant tuna, Turner's highly skilled staff will make sure you have the gear for your next adventure. Visit Turners.com to find a Turner store near you and be sure to join the Turner's Discount Club to get weekly ads and specials right to your inbox. Turner's Outdoorsman, your one-stop shop for all your fishing needs.
The perfect day is my family and I on the boat out on the waterway. I love it. Nothing but sun, snacks, fishing, and of course, life jackets for everyone. Save the ones you love. Life jackets save lives. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Since being established in 2015, CCA has achieved great success for the entire sport fishing industry in the fight for our right to fish here in California. 2021 brought us plenty of success, but every year brings new battles, and we need your help. One of the best ways to help support CCA Cal is to join us and become a member, because strength is certainly in our numbers. Become a member today by logging on to joincca.org. Membership starts at $35 per year, and that is one of the best ways to help us while you go fishing.
Hi, this is Lori Heath. You may know me from some of the fishing boats out of San Diego. I want to talk to you about something that's really close to my heart. Did you know that when you donate blood, you're not only helping others, You're also helping yourself. Donating blood lowers the risk of heart attacks in men by more than 70%, lowers the risk of developing cancer, and helps you maintain a healthy liver. So donate blood to help someone else and to help yourself. If you can't donate, you can still make a difference with the financial gift. It's the best way to give back. Hook, line, and sinker. And for more information and to make a financial donation or an appointment, visit sandiegobloodbank.org. That's the sandiegobloodbank.org. And just to let you know, I'm also a blood donor.
The warm weather is here and our lakes and rivers are brimming. Just remember, if you love California and you love to boat, please wear your life jacket and make sure everyone with you puts one on too. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
And we do want to welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. You know, at the beginning of the show, I was errant to mention that Stan is down in Cabo San Lucas enjoying the sun and fun that that area of the country has to offer. And Wendy is out on a long-range trip on the Navigante, and she'll be back next Sunday night to tell us all about his trip. And I'm sure there is no way we will be able to keep Stan from telling us about the adventures that he experienced while in Cabo San Lucas this past week. But currently, we are speaking with Jeff Hunt from the Lobster Port out of Oceanside, California, and we're running down some of the do's and don'ts that recreational lobster fishermen should be remembering when going out and hooping. And Jeff, thanks a lot for taking some of your Sunday night off to be with us.
Absolutely.
Hey, we were talking just a little bit about fishing on the pier, and you had mentioned earlier that you don't need a California fishing license. You do need your lobster card. Everybody needs a lobster gauge, and that there are only every angler that is fishing for lobsters are only allowed two hoops per person. But I did not know that information, that they don't need to put their go number on the buoy. So that's good new information to know, Jeff.
Yeah, on your setup for the pier, you can use your landing net as your hoop net, and you'll see a bunch of those out there even when it's not lobster season. And because there's no buoy on the top of your line, there's nowhere to put your number. So that's the reason for not having that number, as well as the fact that you're tending your gear, you know, pretty much right where you're sitting or standing.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of fishermen have the tendency while their hoops are soaking that maybe they'll wet a line and they'll go out and catch whatever they can catch. But there is something that they should not do just in the event that they happen to catch a lobster on their fishing line.
Right. The rules state that you can only keep your lobster with the intended method of take. And that's either going to be your hoop net or by hand, and by hand alone. So you're correct there, John. You cannot keep your lobster if you catch one on your hook and line, nor can you use any kind of tools if you're diving to kind of scurry those lobsters out of their hole. You can't use a tickle stick or a mop head or anything like that. It's only by hand or by hoop.
All right. And one of the things that I don't think most recreational hoopers realized, that there is also a maximum time that they can be soaking their hoops. And you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, so you're not only that maximum time, which is 2 hours, you're supposed to stay within visual range of your hoop nets. So no, you can't set your nets and then head back into the harbor and finish your dinner, have a few cocktails, and go out and check your gear. You're supposed to stay out there with your gear within eye shot of all 10 pieces if you're fishing 10 from a boat with a buddy, or if you're fishing 5 solo from your kayak or small boat. You're supposed to stay there with your gear and less than 2 hours. And my suggestion, pretty common among all the other recreational hoopers, is that you don't need that 2 hours.
No,
you can start checking your gear between 20 and 40 minutes after you set it. And the reason being is because if your traps are all together, by the time you get to your last trap setting, it really should just go ahead and start pulling your first one, whether it's you're fishing solo with five, because that's about as much time as it's going to take, is about 30 to 40 minutes to get through your gear by yourself. Or if you're fishing with a buddy, it's going to take you about 30 to 40 minutes to get through all 10 pieces of gear. Now, lobsters, they're not afraid of the gear. They're not afraid of the hoop nets, whether they're flat, whether they're the conical style from Promar, the Ambush. And they're also not afraid of the commercial lobster gear. They'll go in and out pretty much anytime they want. As long as you've got good bait in your hoop nets, that's really what's going to keep them there. They're pretty agile, but they're also pretty hungry. So as long as you got that good bait in there, they're going to stick around. And you've probably seen when you pull your net up that you have to pull your lobsters off of your bait container pretty much before you have to pull them out of the corner of your net.
Wow. You know, you mentioned a couple of different type of nets, and let's quickly talk about what is the advantageous to use one or the other. You have the round hoop nets, which have been around since the year one, and then you have the new conical nets. Tell us about the pros and cons of each.
Well, the flat nets are good if you're going to fish shallow or if you're going to fish from the pier. Basically, you're just going to pull them straight up and then get them right to either the pier or the deck of your boat. So I always recommend flat gear for that style of fishery. And then if you're going to fish the conicals, you can fish a little bit deeper water, maybe 15 feet, all the way up to 200 feet of water. And the conicals are nice because once the lobsters get up and over that edge, they're going to feel a little protection, so they might stick around a little bit longer than they normally would. Plus, when you're pulling your gear, as long as you're steady and keeping the lobsters in there, it's a lot harder for them to pop up right out of that that center ring versus a deeper basket, where if you're pulling in one of those flat hoop nets in 40 or 50 feet of water, anytime you pause your retrieval, your lobsters are going to keep going up, but your net's not. So you're going to be trying to re-catch those lobsters all the way up to the surface of the water. Whereas in the conical style, they may scurry to the edges and feel a little protection there, but they're not going to get up and out, even if you stop to scratch your nose or whatnot, pulling those conicals, those ambush style.
Yeah, you know, and it's important to know that those nets are made in such a way that if you lose that net, it doesn't entrap the lobsters that they're going to stay in there and die, that they will eventually get out.
Right. Yeah. They won't ghost fish.
Right.
And I want to mention too, that Promar has been, always updating their gear, and kind of adjusting to the style of fishing that, that the recreational lobster hoopers, are experiencing every year, or maybe even, trying new things. So they've got their original three hoop nets, which is the 32-inch ambush, which I recommend for a kayak, an SUP, stand-up paddleboard if you're so inclined, or a smaller boat, just so that you have a little bit of extra deck space. And then the next size up is the 36-inch XL, which is about the same weight as that 32-inch hoop net, but it's got a little bit bigger footprint. So that if you're getting into an area of lobsters that there may be a little bit more lobsters there, you'll be able to get a couple more into that net. And then 2 years ago, they brought out a 13-pound hoop net, which is ideal for those inclined to fish Catalina or maybe something that has a little bit of current, like the edge of a channel or, you know, a particularly strong swell. Those will tend to get to the bottom where you want them to fish and kind of stay there. And then this year, check out some of the tackle shops that have the 23-pound ambush hoop net. And that's a beast. Not only is it twice as heavy as almost all the other ones that they make, or three times, but it's also 10 inches tall. So if you're into a spot and you're letting it soak for about an hour, it'll allow even more lobsters or Dungeness crab or any kind of crab, really, to be in there.
You know, Jeff, with these nets getting heavier, Are we allowed any type of mechanical or machine-driven device to help us retrieve our traps as opposed to just pulling them by hand?
Absolutely. You can change the angle of the retrieval just by having a davit mounted to your rod holder, and that will allow you to do more of a pull-down motion of retrieving your gear versus pulling up hand over hand. So you can do it that way, and that takes about half of that stress off. Or you can use an electric puller like the Ace Line Hauler, which you could set up on a gimbal mount or on the edge of your boat, so that you can have that mechanical assist to pull your gear up. And they're absolutely 100% legal.
All right. Hey, let's switch on over to how we bait our nets, because really important. There are different types of bait boxes we can use, and obviously different type of baits. Can you quickly run down what's available and what some of your recommendations are?
Yeah, for sure. So my recommendations on bait, you're going to have two styles of bait. You're going to have a stationary bait, which would be like salmon heads, or maybe you've been saving your tuna heads. Those are more of a durable bait that when you have those in your bait container, whether it's the seal-proof tube or one from Roach Coach, which is like a lunchbox size, and then one that we make here at Lobster Port, which is a wire, heavy-duty, half-by-half-inch mesh lunchbox style. You put your durable bait in there, and that's going to keep the lobsters in there. And you're also going to use a broadcast bait, which would be like mackerel or sardines or anchovies, something that when you mush them all up, it's going to leave a nice little scent trail to let the lobsters know that there's something interesting in the area. And you can also supplement that with an attractant, like Python Elite Lobster Attractant, and that's going to kind of effectively put like a bacon smell in the water column for your lobster fishing.
Well, who doesn't like bacon, especially with your lobster? That's a great idea.
Absolutely. Yeah, and then my one recommendation, if you're going to use something big like a salmon head or tuna head, is to cut that head in half and present the inside to the lobsters. And kind of hide that eye or pluck the eye out or any of the skin that's on the face of your bait, because that's going to be a candle in the nighttime for the seals. They'll see that and recognize that as a fish head from a mile away. So if you can kind of disguise that, then that'll help keep those pests away.
Well, it sounds like what you're looking at is some type of a bait box that exposes as much surface area to the bait that you're using to the water, so you can get that scent out. I mean, absolutely. I see a lot of guys make their own bait tubes or whatever it is, and there seems like they're more concerned about coming back with bait than they are coming back with lobster.
There's a certain amount of pride if you're going to make your own gear, that's for sure.
Well, that's true too, and that's like anything we get into. Well, lastly, we covered a lot of areas, but tell us some of the better areas to fish. I've got guys that come in and say, I don't fish any deeper than 15 feet of water, and I get all kinds of lobsters. And then we see guys that are going after maybe the big boys or the spots that aren't gotten to as much, and they're fishing in deep water. What type of rule do you like to follow, Jeff?
My recommendation for anyone that comes into the shop and wants to know about where to go or how to fish is to start with what you know already. If you're familiar with a harbor or a structure or something like that, kind of fish that. Get good at it, know that spot, and then ask around or take a trip on another company's boat, an outfit that'll take you over to Catalina and show you how to fish deep. Or maybe some of these other companies that allow you to rent a boat, and then a guide or someone that can take you out. There's a couple harbors that have, some of the bigger boats, that you would see on a half day or a three quarter day trip that'll just do an evening, lobster trip. And, those are a lot of fun to take because all you have to do is just pull on the gear. They'll get you on the spot.
Well, as you can tell, we've just scratched the surface, I think, on what Jeff from the Lobster Port knows about lobster hooping and lobster fishing. And Jeff, if people want more information or they want to visit you, tell us a little bit about how they can get a hold of you at the Lobster Port.
Well, you can find me online at lpfishingsupply.com or Lobster Port. That'll get you there. I've got social media on TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find me there at LP Fishing Supply or Lobster Port. Stop by the shop up here in Oceanside. We can do some demos, run through the gear, do a little one-on-one, anything that you want to get to be more successful.
Jeff, as we get further into the season, let me invite you to come back again, and we can talk a little bit more about this, and we can find out what's been working, what hasn't been working, maybe have some more information on places to go, because you are a wealth of information, and we have not even tapped it yet. So, you know, but our time is running out with you. So I appreciate you giving up some of your Sunday to be with us, and much success to you there at the Lobster Port and from all the people that are using your advice and getting gear from you.
Thank you, John. Always a pleasure to be here, and look forward to our next encounter.
I get a chance to see you. I'm going to come up there and say hello, because you've got some things up there that I don't even know exist, and so we need to know about them. I would encourage our listeners to go up there and find out what little secrets Jeff is hiding up there at the Lobster Port. Thanks a lot for being with us, sir.
Absolutely, John. You guys have a great night.
All right. Hey, coming up next, we are going to have the organizer of the 2022 Black Bass World Championships. Yes, there's such a thing like that. So John Knight's going to be with us. But first, we got to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
Hi, this is Jim Trelekas. Whether you're an avid angler or custom rod builder like me, you need to team up with the leading innovator in rod building related products, Batson Enterprises. From rain shadow rod blanks engineered by anglers for anglers to quality rod components supplied by Alps and Forecast, Batson Enterprises will enhance the quality of your fishing and rod building experience. Batson Enterprises for many years has excelled in incorporating rod building technologies and techniques into every product sold. Owner Bill Batson has assembled one of the finest group of in-house professionals to assist you with your every rod building question or need. So take it from me, Jim Trelekas. When my customer's expectation is for me to build them the finest fishing rod their money can buy, I turn to Batson Enterprises for the best rod components my money can buy.
Hi, this is John, and I'd like to invite you to the new Angler's Arsenal location in Lakeside, California. We've put together a staff of experts that'll help you find the tackle and gear you need at a price you can afford. We carry all major brands, and if you need custom work done, we can do that for you with both rods and reels. How about servicing your old equipment? No problem. We can do it quickly, easily, at a price you can afford. We also do custom hand-poured plastics through Western Plastics. Design the lure of your dreams and catch the fish that have been getting away. So come and visit us in Lakeside. We're at 12255 Woodside Avenue. Or you can visit us at anglersarsenal.com. If you need to call us, we're at 619-466-8355. See you there.
Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. The Gamakatsu sharpening process is the most modern in the world and results in a perfectly conical point that is unequaled in sharpness. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing, drop shot, extra wide gap, worm hooks, finesse wide gap, and a lot more. Gamakatsu has a hook for whatever style of fishing you want to do. Don't waste your time on a cheap hook. Ask for Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
There's nothing more peaceful than fishing. Just me, my pole, and some bait. Oh, and my life jacket, of course. I like fish, but I don't want to end up at the bottom of the water with them. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Are you looking for a quality fishing experience out of Cabo San Lucas for you, your family, and friends, but are a little set back with what charter company to choose? We urge you to use American and family-owned Lands End Charters. Lands End Charters offers their passengers affordable and all-inclusive services on a variety of vessels and trips. Fish with the latest of fishing gear while experiencing the hospitality of a longtime owned family business. Go to lensandcharters.com to see all of their vessels and amenities available. Call Cobble, Greg, or Jenny at 800-281-5778 when you're ready for an action-packed Cabo fishing experience.
Hey, everybody. This is a message for our listeners from a new Baja Magic Lodge at Cedros Island. Cedros Outdoor Adventures wants to make your dream of fishing Cedros Island a reality. Want to go after giant calicos or yellowtail with the best Cedros Island fishing organization, but you just don't know who to contact? Then give Cedros Outdoor Adventures a call at 619-793-5419, or even better yet, log on to their informative website at cedrosoutdooradventures.com. There you can visit their trip calendar and schedule a trip that's convenient for you. Once again, the phone number is 619-793-5419, or their website of cedrosoutdooradventures.com.
Rod & Reel Radio is brought to you by BajaBound.com Insurance Services. Are you driving to Mexico? You can buy and print out your Mexican auto insurance policy online in the convenience of your own home or office in minutes now with BajaBound.com's easy-to-use website. After printing your auto insurance, check out the BajaBound.com site. There, too, you will find great travel tips and information to help you get the most out of your next road trip south of the border. So this is an important fact to remember. Use BajaBound.com. It's the easiest way to find and get Mexican auto insurance.
If you're serious about your fishing, choosing the right tackle is one of the most important decisions you'll ever make. Iserline makes premium fishing lines, including monofilament, Dacron, Spectra, fluorocarbon, battle-tested harnesses, and top angler-tested Iserline tools and accessories. Iserline premium fishing products are created to provide you with the ultimate in strength, dependability, durability, high abrasion resistance, low stretch, and high quality. All Iserline products are 100% guaranteed against manufacturing defects. You just can't buy better value. Iserline will replace or repair at their option, no questions asked, if you're not pleased with any of their products. Catch what you've been missing. Quality guaranteed.
Rod & Reel Radio is now available as a podcast you can subscribe to on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcasting app. Get notified as soon as new episodes are available, or go back and listen to our past shows. Browse through all of our archive shows at rodandreelradio.com/archives and click the subscribe button to get started listening now.
Hey, I want to welcome you back to Rod & Reel Radio. You know, a lot of our listeners have been involved with bass fishing for a long, long time, and they've seen the evolution of bass fishing from local tournaments, regional tournaments, and then now with BASS and the Federation and MLF national tournaments. But did you know there are also international black bass tournaments? Not only that, they're just not something that has happened within the past few years. They've been going on for a little while. So I thought what I'd do is bring the organizer of the 2022 Black Bass World Championships to the show to tell us a little bit about what that event is all about. And let's welcome to Rod & Reel Radio, Mr. John Knight. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, John, thanks for having me. It's real exciting to be this close to the World Championship. Lots of news to share, and certainly great to reach out and share some of this with your listeners.
Well, when we do that, let's first talk a little bit about the history. I know there are a lot of people listening to us right now that they think that maybe the Black Bass World Championship is a gimmick or sort of like a locally conjured up type of an event. And judging by the history of that event, it is a heck of a lot more than that.
Brother, you hit the nose on the spot. So in Rome, Italy, there's a global organization called the International Confederation of Sports Fishing. These gentlemen have since 1954 organized 33 angling world discipline championships every year. Some years some don't happen, and some years some they do, but there's 33 championships that can happen every year. And they have been recognized as that body that puts these on by the Olympics, by Sports Accord, and so on. We follow all of the Olympic rule set and bases. None of this is for money. You know, this is for gold, silver, and bronze medals, and we have trophies. the SIPS organization in Rome, Italy, has 81 member nations, and of that, almost 50 million members. So this is a large, large global reaching community. Now, they follow the same Olympic-style events. So if a country wants to host, say, the Black Bass World Championship, they have to submit a proposal. They have to put in paperwork and provide a presentation. They then are put in a bid and hopefully officially get selected. And in 2019, the U.S. got a call and said, hey, you guys are ready to host the 2022 Bass World Championship. So that's the quick step from this global organization. And just think of it like the Fishing Olympics. It's all the same type of momentum and ceremonies and just all of the fanfare and, you know, great groups of people. So that's kind of where it all comes from. We have the president of the FIPS ODU organization, which is one of the sub-bodies of the SIPS group. In the world of global fishing, there's freshwater fishing, which they call ODU, which is water in French. There's FIPS mer fishing, mer for ocean, and then FIPS mouche, and mouche is for fly. So the 33 disciplines are broken up within the fly fishing world, which frankly is colder water, the fresh fishing world, freshwater world, which is carp fishing, bass fishing, predator fishing, ice fishing, shore casting, all of these things. And then FIPS mer, that's all your ocean fishing, big game, inshore, outshore, just a whole slew of things there. Really neat to understand how that comes. So what happened when the bass event was given to us and we took it to market in 2019, we sent an invite to the 81 member nations. And of that, we thought, you know, 16, 18 would be a good number within the bassing community, a global community to come in. Some countries just don't have bass fishing, or the northern countries say are more interested in ice fishing than bass or fly and so on. Sip a little water there. And so that started the whole journey of bringing, of us in the U.S., bringing this into the United States. Now, you know, how does that even happen? Well, when you're a member, when the U.S. is a member of the SIPS organization, there's a recognized organization here in the United States, and that's called U.S. Angling. U.S. Angling is the officially recognized group in the United States to put together angling teams in any of these 33 disciplines and represent America on a global stage in one of these SIPS events. U.S. Angling is recognized by U.S. Game and Fish, and certain, I guess, government organizations have seen fit to provide that MOU and organizational designation. And so U.S. Angling did the event. The event got set up for 2020 on Lake Murray, beautiful spot, a well-known bass location, and certainly for our attendees, a bass destination. If you're going to come fish bass, yeah, you can go to Italy, you can go to South Africa, all of these different countries have hosted this event. But to come to the U.S. is the paramount trip. It's the biggest trip of a lifetime for these guys.
Well, John, so, let me ask you a couple of questions before we jump into that. This is the 16th event of this type that is going to be held. What are some of the other venues where this event has been held, and has it been all bass fishing for those six of those 15 previous events?
Yes. First, when it says 16th annual bass. That isn't predator or some variant. It is just for black bass. And so it is all bass events. I had joined the team in 2017, and I've been to South Africa twice, Mexico. Other folks are Italy hosts, Spain will host, Portugal likes to host the Bass Championship. But this is an event that is very difficult to organize because of the need for all of these boats within the host community. So there's not many qualified nations that can put together the resources to pull off the Bass Championship, and that's one of the reasons specifically it's at Lake Murray.
You know, when people think about the bass and going after bass, we think about the United States, some spots in Mexico, Cuba, a few other areas. But you don't necessarily think about Italy, Spain, South Africa. And I guess the first question is, and I don't know whether or not you're qualified to answer this or not, but how the heck did bass get there?
Oh, to these other countries?
Yeah.
Probably good marketing by FLW back in the day. And, you know, the growth of selling engines and boats globally and all of that. You know, what you find is different countries, especially, say, China, has their own bass series and tours and national champions. South Africa, a huge sporting community with bass fishing. The Italians, it's interesting. I mean, even Australia, it's just found its way there. Now, again, they all follow the U.S. trend, the U.S. Event process, and so everything is U.S. focused, even abroad. And so, the epicenter of the bass world is right here, and we all know that.
Yes.
And the other countries are given the opportunity right now to come to the United States, United States, to the center of the bass universe to compete, which is a very unique thing. And it's the first time it's been to the U.S. in 16 years.
You know, even though you can go as far to the east as Japan, and we know that Japan is bass crazy, and it's obviously yep. a huge producer of bass fishing lures and fishing lures for other disciplines. But I know there are some great places to fish in Japan, and Japan came within an ounce of actually holding the world record for largemouth bass on Lake Biwa a few years ago. So bass fishing is spread, and as I understand it, the bass themselves spread through our military in a lot of these countries like Italy and Spain and thereabouts, where some of the good old boys were over there, and there were waters around the bases where they were, especially Air Force bases. So it turned out that bass started coming in on military transports, and that's how those places got populated. And just as a short note, that if it weren't for the U.S. Navy and largemouth bass being transported on Navy transports here to San Diego, we wouldn't have largemouth bass here in Southern California and Mexico, for that matter.
That's an outstanding fact. I had no idea. I did not know that spin or that story. That's very interesting.
Well, we're returning home. We can keep on going on to that, but let's talk about, coming on up. You've got Lake Murray. Why was Lake Murray picked for the location of this event?
We first approached several venues in the southern parts of the state, all definitely seasoned and venues being used openly on the pro bass circuits. And Lake Murray, frankly, has a really, really deep and experienced tourism board, the Capital City Lake Murray Country Tourism Group. And with their excitement, certainly their support and their understanding of bass events, it's an educated population on bass. The group of DNR representatives, state agencies, the state parks people, they're all used to working with the Capital City folks. And so for that specific reason alone, and their support of the USA Bass team as well, that venue was chosen.
Hey, John, we have to take a commercial break. Can I get you to stay on for a little bit longer?
Absolutely, sir.
Hey, we are speaking with John Knight. He is one of the organizers of the 2022 Black Bass World Championships. We've got a lot more questions asked, John, so stay tuned. We'll be back after these messages.
Turner's Outdoorsman, California's number one fishing, hunting, and shooting sports retailer, now has 28 locations. Turner's is your one-stop shop for fishing tackle, hunting gear, and everything for shooting sports. Turner's offers a full selection and unmatched prices on the gear you need. Whether you're planning a fishing trip with the family or chasing giant tuna, Turner's highly skilled staff will make sure you have the gear for your next adventure. Visit Turners.com to find a Turner store near you and be sure to join the Turner's Discount Club to get weekly ads and specials right to your inbox. Turner's Outdoorsman, your one-stop shop for all your fishing needs.
Since being established in 2015, CCA has achieved great success for the entire sport fishing industry in the fight for our right to fish here in California. 2021 brought us plenty of success, but every year brings new battles, and we need your help. One of the best ways to help support CCA Cal is to join us and become a member, because strength is certainly in our numbers. Become a member today by logging on to joincca.org. Membership starts at $35 per year, and that is one of the best ways to help us while you go fishing.
Hi, Roland Martin here. I'd like to tell you a little about Gary Yamamoto and the Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait Company. It all started with an idea, then a dream, and in 1983, the Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait Company was formed. If you know Gary Yamamoto like I do, and I've known him since 1983, you know he has a passionate love for the sport of fishing. That love is only matched by his obsession to design and produce the highest quality soft plastic fishing lures on the market today. Every bait Gary makes is inspected by hand. Today, more than 2.5 million packages of bait are shipped worldwide. On behalf of Gary and his staff, he wants to thank his customers for thinking so highly of his products and wishing you the great success at the sport of fishing. Whether you fish for fun or fish the tournament circuits like I do, you'll honor Gary for making Gary Yamamoto Custom Baits a key part of your fishing experience. Take it from me, Roland Martin. When I'm in need of a go-to bait, my first choice is a Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait.
Hey, bass fishermen. Who do you call for your bass boat insurance? Well, if you're not calling me at 1-800-BASS-BOAT, for your boat insurance, you're probably paying too much and may not have the coverage that you need. In 1974, I developed the Bass Boat Program that is what all the pros use today. The reason? No depreciation or any partial claim for your hull, your big motor, your trolling motor, or your electronics until your boat's 10 years old. That's right, you only pay $250 to get your boat on the water for any partial claim, and we still pay a stated value replacement cost for your boat if you have a total loss. We're the only people in the industry that does that, and that's why we are the choice of the pros. So if you want the best, forget the rest. Just call 1-800-BASS-BOAT. Call 1-800-227-7262, or just spell Bass Boat. 1-800-BASS-BOAT. I know there's too many letters, but the T is free and the call's on me. That's 1-800-BASS-BOAT, the choice of the pros for bass boat insurance. For more information, log on to 1-800-BASS-BOAT.com.
Hi, this is Lori Heath. You may know me from some of the sports boats out of San Diego. I want to talk to you about something that's really close to my heart, the San Diego Blood Bank. Fishing for a way to make a difference in your community? Consider donating blood or making a financial donation to the San Diego Blood Bank. Your gift will impact medical research, revolutionize how we improve health and treat disease, and most importantly, give the gift of life. But we can't do it without you or without your help. Visit sandiegobloodbank.org to make an appointment or to give a financial donation today. It's the best way to give back. And just to let you know, I'm also a blood donor.
The warm weather is here and our lakes and rivers are brimming. Just remember, if you love California and you love to boat, please wear your life jacket. And make sure everyone with you puts one on too. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Hey, we want to welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. As a listening note, still coming up later on in the show, Jimmy Houston's going to be with us. So still a lot more to come, but right now we're talking with Mr. John Knight. He is the one of the organizers of the 2022 Black Bass World Championships, this year being held on Lake Murray here in the United States. And, John, again, thank you for giving up some of your Sunday to be with us.
Hey, fantastic. You know, I'm glad to spread the word and let people know what a great event we've got coming to Lake Murray.
Well, I appreciate that. Now, you know, a lot of guys are going, how do I get to be representing the United States in bass fishing? And bass fishing teams, they need coaches or managers. So tell us a little bit about the structure of the team.
So the USA Bass team has 8 anglers that are our main team anglers, 2 coaches, and then a support manager, which is myself, and a couple other admin persons. Our main coach is Charlie Evans. You probably remember Charlie from the old FLW days, and he's still running around in his Paw Patrol van at all the locations. Do you know Charlie? Okay, and so Charlie Evans is one of our coaches, as well as Mark Schlarb, who's also on the tour, and David Fritz. These guys work with the U.S. Angling folks to put together a travel team. And again, it's hard to find enough anglers that can travel and take the time off needed. And it's often in the fall during their normal tournament season. And we want to represent the best of both tours. And so through that and phone calls, we developed a USA team in 2017, and they competed in 17, 18, and 19. And again, the event in 2020 got postponed by COVID all the way to this year in 2022.
Now, John, just to show that this isn't some snake oil operation that's selling something on the side of the road, how many anglers are you expecting at this event from around the world?
This event was originally thought to have 16 or 18 nations attend. Each country sends 6 competitors plus reserves and their support staff. This year, we are going to host a record number of 25 nations, setting the highest attendance record for nations at the World Championship.
You know, John, I have a hard enough time getting my boat from here to Las Vegas. You've got all these teams coming in. You must have one Herculean task ahead of you when it comes to coordinating all these teams on where they're going to stay, how they're going to fish, who they're going to fish with. So tell us a little bit about that coordinated effort.
Absolutely. You know, we provide working with the host community, this Capital City Lake Murray Country Group. Designated the Doubletree Hilton there for their outstanding number of rooms, their banquet space, and that they can help produce that event. From there, with the body of water selected at Lake Murray, it was introducing ourselves to the Dreher Island people, which have hosted many of the weigh-ins and support of past bass events. And so those are our 2 key components right there. Where is everyone going to stay and where the ceremonies happen? Where are our on-water activities? But the largest, most important component is the local community has enough bass enthusiasts and pro-bass type folks that have the boats we need to host this event. And while I've got 25 countries, I need 66 boats a day to take these guys fishing. 18 people have brought their own boats, Mexico, Canada, U.S., and so on. The rest are local guys coming out for 5 days that have, 18 to 20-foot boats, 225 to 250 engines, basic electronics, a real good bass boat, and they're given their time for 5 days. They join the event. There's a draw where the teams get divided into groups A, B, and C, so the flights leave in an order and return for the weigh-in in an order. And from there, Bob Smith may be boat A7, and he'll be assigned 2 Italians, and they will meet on Tuesday the 18th, go on the water for the 18th and 19th for practice, and then the scoring competition is 3 days, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So it is the local community that enables an event like this to happen. And that is what's so special about all of this, because so many countries have already started flying in to the event, which is still 2 weeks off, to pre-fish, acclimate to the area, and they're already meeting tons of our volunteers and our own boat marshals, because they're all going fishing together. And that's one of the neatest parts of this whole thing.
Well, I think the neatest part of the whole thing, too, is you cannot run an event like this without some great sponsors. And I'm probably pretty convinced that you've got a couple of three that are behind you. You want to talk a little bit about some of the organizations that are stepping up here to support you?
Yeah, again, the biggest one is certainly our title sponsor, Capital City Lake Murray. Yamamoto Custom Soft Baits is our title sponsor. They've been supporting the team since 2017. Favorite Rods, Ranger Boats, as well as Garmin are gold level sponsors for team and event. We have Intech Lithium Batteries, Yamaha, Gamma Lines, and our buddies down at Trickstep came on this year, which is great. Bob's Machines, another gold sponsor, as well as PowerPole. Some others, Outlaw Ordnance. We've got a health supplement through BioBest. Major Bass Media is in, and, Bass Pro Shops.
Wow.
It's a great, great compilation.
You know, we're out here on the West Coast and may not know a lot about this event. Our listeners do now know about it. But with the interest that you've developed, especially with people out here in the West, what are the dates of the event again? And how can we follow the results of the Bass World Championship?
Absolutely. Well, all things lead to the Bass Team website, which is usabass.org. That is live now. The event dates are October 16th through the 22nd, and that is in Lake Murray, Capital City, Lake Murray country. We will have, through our partnership with MLF, a live feed of all of the Bass weigh-ins on Thursday, October 20th, the 21st, and 22nd, and those start at 4 p.m. Central Time, so do the math to California, and that's also will be right off the homepage at usabass.org. So if you get to that website, you can watch everything. We'll post the results every night, and then there'll be just a lot of local media pushing it out as well. But let me share this with you.
Sure enough.
February 2023, this whole thing's going to be on TV on Discovery Channel, featured on Americana Outdoors. And so everyone will be able to enjoy it then as well.
Wow. That's a big feather in your cap to make it up like that. But I've got to imagine that you have a number of fishermen that are excited from around the world. Now tell me, are these all male teams, or do you have some female fishermen coming to participate?
This year, the roster is only male. That's not by design at all. Many championships have females mixed within their angler set, but this one is specifically just male.
All right. And again, if you will, because you blipped out, who is on the U.S. team this year?
Fantastic question. Well, we're going to lead with our team captain, Scott Martin, followed by his boatmate, Scott Canterbury. Then we have David Dudley and Jacob Wheeler. They'll also be joined by James Worldwide Watson, Fred Boom Robanus, Anthony Gagliardi, and Mark Rose. And that is our team of eight.
Wow. Now, if people are interested in finding out more about this event, you know, we do broadcast all over the United States. It was Bill Hochstad, who lives on Lake Murray. We know him out here as the lawman when he lived out in Southern California, has moved back there, that alerted me to this event coming out. So we've got listeners all over the United States and literally all over the world. If they are interested in helping you out or participating or even sharing their boat with someone, how's the best way to get a hold of you, John?
I'll tell you what, the best, easiest way is to go to the USABassDog.org website. My contact information is there. We are still adding boats to the boats we need each day, so there are still boat captain packages available. We also need spare boats in case there's a breakdown, so we are still have open volunteer spots for boat captains. And boat captains, we have a nice package. There's some dollars involved, and they get tickets to all the ceremonies, and it's a nice package. So if anyone's nearby and wants to join us for 5 days, we do need boat captains, and all of that, again, is on usabass.org.
All right, John Knight, with the Black Bass World Championships this year being held in the United States. Great event, John. We will be following you, and let's do some follow-up and find out how things went here in the not-too-distant future. Can we do that?
Fantastic. I'd love to tell you some stories from the journey, and it's been a pleasure this evening.
John Knight, thanks a lot for being with us, sharing some of your Sunday, and we look forward to talking to you again real soon, John, and much success to you and everyone involved.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, we're going to take a break right now, but coming up next, Jimmy Houston is going to be with us. He's going to be, he's got a new venture happening. He's going to tell us about that, and maybe we'll catch up on a few other things he's been doing. So stay tuned. We'll be back after these messages.
Hi, this is Jim Trelekas. Whether you're an avid angler or custom rod builder like me, you need to team up with the leading innovator in rod building related products, Batson Enterprises. From rain shadow rod blanks engineered by anglers for anglers to quality rod components supplied by Alps and Forecast, Batson Enterprises will enhance the quality of your fishing and rod building experience. Batson Enterprises for many years has excelled in incorporating rod building technologies and techniques into every product sold. Owner Bill Batson has assembled one of the finest group of in-house professionals to assist you with your every rod building question or need. So take it from me, Jim Trelekas. When my customer's expectation is for me to build them the finest fishing rod their money can buy, I turn to Batson Enterprises for the best rod components my money can buy.
Hi, this is John, and I'd like to invite you to the new Angler's Arsenal location in Lakeside, California. We've put together a staff of experts that'll help you find the tackle and gear you need at a price you can afford. We carry all major brands, and if you need custom work done, we can do that for you with both rods and reels. How about servicing your old equipment? No problem. We can do it quickly, easily, at a price you can afford. We also do custom hand-poured plastics through Western Plastics. Design the lure of your dreams and catch the fish that have been getting away. So come and visit us in Lakeside. We're at 12255 Woodside Avenue. Or you can visit us at anglersarsenal.com. If you need to call us, we're at 619-466-8355. See you there.
Every serious angler knows that a quality hook is an important part of their arsenal. Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. Gamakatsu ring hooks are made with a one-piece ring, no welds, no weak spots, a very smooth-moving ring. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing. Live bait hooks, both light and heavy-duty to four extra strong. Circle hooks, tuna hooks, ringed hooks, tuna doubles, and many more. Don't waste your next fishing trip on a cheap hook. Get Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
I can't wait to spend some quality time with my son fishing this year, teaching him about casting, how to choose bait, set the hook, and how to be safe on the water by always wearing a life jacket. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Are you looking for a quality fishing experience out of Cabo San Lucas for you, your family, and friends, but are a little set back with what charter company to choose? We urge you to use American and family-owned Lands & Charters. Lands & Charters offers their passengers affordable and all-inclusive services on a variety of vessels and trips. fish with the latest of fishing gear while experiencing the hospitality of a longtime-owned family business. Go to lensandcharters.com to see all of their vessels and amenities available. Call Cobble, Greg, or Jenny at 800-281-5778 when you're ready for an action-packed Cabo fishing experience. Hey, everybody. This is a message for our listeners from a new Baja Magic Lodge at Cedros Island. Cedros Outdoor Adventures wants to make your dream of fish at Cedros Island a reality. Want to go after giant calicos or yellowtail with the best Cedros Island fishing organization, but you just don't know who to contact? Then give Cedros Outdoor Adventures a call at 619-793-5419, or even better yet, log on to their informative website at cedrosoutdooradventures.com. There you can visit their trip calendar and schedule a trip that's convenient for you. Once again, the phone number is 619-793-5419 or their website of cedrosoutdooradventures.com. Run Real Radio is brought to you by BajaBound.com Insurance Services. Are you driving to Mexico? You can buy and print out your Mexican auto insurance policy online in the convenience of your own home or office in minutes now with BajaBound.com's easy-to-use website. After printing your auto insurance, check out the BajaBound.com site. There, too, you will find great travel tips and information to help you get the most out of your next road trip south of the border. So this is an important fact to remember. Use BajaBound.com. It's the easiest way to find and get Mexican auto insurance.
And we want to welcome you all back to Rod and Reel Radio. Well, our next guest does not need a lot of introduction. And even if I were to try and introduce him, I don't think I've got enough time left in the segment. So let's get right to him. I want to thank him for taking some time to be with us. Jimmy Houston. Jimmy, thank you for being with us, sir.
Hey, John. How you doing this evening, buddy?
Hey, I am doing great. I am broadcasting from the mothership in Downey, California, which isn't something I often get the opportunity to do it, and they have a full-blown radio studio over here as opposed to me standing behind the screen of my computer. So welcome to the show, and thank you for being a part of it.
That's fantastic. That's why you get the big bucks, Sean.
That's it, sir. And that's why I've got to pay the bills too, Jimmy. You know, there's that pendulum swings both ways. But hey, before we get to the reason why I asked you to come, let's talk about a couple of things. First of all, I'm really happy I was able to get you this weekend because I thought that you would be on your way to Alabama to go to the Ray Scott Memorial, and that is not until Tuesday. Tell us, what do you know about what's happening? Because that's got to be a big thing.
It really will be. Yeah, Tuesday at 1 o'clock at the Methodist Church there in Montgomery, Alabama, and I'm gonna drive tomorrow. I'm gonna drive over to my daughter's house and leave Chris there. It's just a little bit too long of a trip for Chris, I think, but and drive on down there. And just about really and truly, everybody in bass fishing will be there. I think that a lot of the younger guys might not be, but they'll be. Most all the guys that's been around for a long time, I know Roland Martin's planning on being there, and Bill Dance and Johnny Morris, and those individuals right there. That's a pretty big part of history of bass fishing. And Ray has just been, was so instrumental. I think that it would have all happened had Ray not come along, but it would have probably happened later in the game. It wouldn't have happened when it did. It might have been 5 years later. It might have been 20 years later. I don't know, but. The bass fishing, of course, is a competitive sport, was already going on. Ray didn't start that. That was already happening with Project Sports and the World Series of Fish, Sport Fishing, High Peskin and that bunch. So we were already fishing tournaments before, but Ray, had a vision and a dream that took it to an entirely new level and created people like, superstars like Bill Dance and Roland Martin and people like that.
Wow. And, not only that, with the exposure that he gave you, little putzes like me on the West Coast, we learned fishing techniques, we learned lures, how to present them. So his reach went far beyond just what he was doing in Alabama and doing with that, that first big group of guys that were fishing his tournaments. the impact is, it's almost incalculable.
Well, it is, everybody's got stories about Ray Scott and the amazing things that he did, a lot of people just called him up. He was fast talking and trying to make a buck. But when we get our first job, whatever it may be, for me it was about 50 cents an hour. I was trying to make a buck. So trying to make a buck, there's nothing wrong with that. But his vision that he had, that bass fishing could become really and truly what it's become today, his vision was different than anyone else's that had been involved in tournaments and the fact that he just felt like that it could become a profession for people. I'm asked all the time, and I probably told you this before, John, when I became a professional bass fisherman, not when I turned pro, and I have no idea. I mean, we were fishing tournaments and running around the country chasing the black bass and fishing against each other and developing lifelong friendships with so many people. And at some point in time, there wasn't any such thing as professional bass fishermen. At some point in time, they started calling us professional bass fishermen, and we didn't even, we didn't even realize that that's what we were. And so, it's a game that, really, had Ray Scott not come along, it would have been probably several years down the line before we had achieved what it's done. And it's a mature sport right now. You think about it, Bass Pro Shop. Johnny Morris's Bass Pro Shop is celebrating 50 years this year. 50 years this year.
Wow.
The same thing, you look back at the Ranger Boat Company, started in 1968. This is a mature sport now, and there's a lot of guys out there making a lot of money. And the cool thing about it is I just did a deal at Delicious in a touch of truck event for Shell Rotella, and I had my Ranger boat and my Ram truck right in the middle of it, and they had all these big giant trucks and dump trucks and huge big trucks, and they're a big concrete company and a mining company, and it's a big family event, a lot of families out there, and I probably had 500 kids get in and out of my bass boat sitting there in that parking lot. But I had several young men that were 8th, 9th, 10th graders in high school, really serious and asking serious questions. And four or five of them said, Jimmy, what I want to be is a professional bass fisherman. And these are high school kids. And you would never, ever, no one would have ever even, that would have never crossed anyone's mind when Ray Scott started his tournaments and when I was in the 9th or 10th grade. I was just trying to go fishing. That's what I was trying to do.
I like to liken professional bass anglers to musicians. There's a lot of really great musicians out there, but how many of them reach the pinnacle of success that they can really make a living on it and be an everyday name like Jimmy Houston and Bill Dance and Roland Martin? And I think one of the things I run into most is, when young individuals, both men and women, they want to become professionals. First of all, their families look at them and go, wait a minute, we had in mind you maybe being a doctor or a lawyer or maybe even a fireman. Can you make it a living being a bass fisherman? And it really takes the commitment to do that because it's a long road, even now, with more opportunities than when you were fishing.
That's exactly right. It takes a commitment and it takes a passion that is unparalleled for most people that do not make it. There's a lot of people, when we started fishing national tournaments, we had a lot of local fishermen around. I lived on the lake Tenkiller, and all the other people that lived in the area, they fished just as much as I did, and we fished local tournaments together, and I had good success in local tournaments, but a lot of other guys did too, and then when I went out and had good success in the national tournaments, a lot of the local guys thought, heck, I'm just as good as he is, or just about anyway. I can go fish national tournaments, and many of them tried, and in our local area here at home, until Jason Christie came along, which is quite a few years down the line, no other really local fishermen around our area really made it, and really only a handful here in Oklahoma. And we've had, many, many really good fishermen. But in those early days, just almost no one. And I think part of that is just the passion and the intensity that you develop. And you can learn to play a piano, but you can't really, only a few can really make those strings really I mean, those keys really go inside of a person's soul. You can learn to play a guitar, and you can learn to sing. And it's something as simple. You mentioned entertainers. The reason I brought that up is something as simple as telling jokes. There are comedians working all over the country right now in nightclubs and bars and stuff that will never, ever, you and I will never hear of, probably. And if we ever went and watched them, we'd probably laugh through their show. It'd be really funny, but we probably wouldn't even remember their name. And then yet there are, again, a handful of comedians that become iconic people that we, you know, years after they're gone, we're still laughing, like Red Skelton as an example, you know. And you can name several, and I know, of course, he fell on a lot of hard times, but Bill Cosby. And many comedians, and they're simply telling jokes, but there's individuals that just seem to have a passion for it, and they seem to stir up more than what, you know, than what just the other people can. And everybody can catch a fish, you know, but the ones that really make it to the top, they've got just something extra that pushes them to the limits that other people don't reach. When I won the Bass Angler of the Year title way back in 1976, before most of the people listening to this show were born, you know, if I wasn't have a pretty good day going by 8:30 or 9 o'clock in the morning, I got sick and threw up over the side of the boat, physically ill. That is how hard I was competing. And I wouldn't recommend that. I mean, I don't think that's a good deal, and that's the only year that ever happened to me. But that's how intensely I was competing in the tournament, enough to actually physically make myself sick if I wasn't doing well. So but that's how hard the good guys really play the game. And I think it's that way in just about everything that, you know, that's out there, all the competitive sports for sure. And even just like you said, it's a good analogy, musicians or singers or entertainers. And there's lots of beautiful, beautiful voices out there. All the television shows we've got right now, and, you know, everybody that comes on there sounds like, wow, wow, wow. And yet only a few of them really make it to become big stars.
Well, then you add to that factor the fishermen that came from the West Coast, especially in the early years, Gary Klein and Mike Falkstead and Don Ivino and D. Thomas and a lot of those guys that were coming from the West Coast, and they had to travel many, many, many miles to come to a tournament, and there was no guarantee that they were going to able to make ends meet.
Oh, it's very difficult. I mean, it still is. I mean, even though the money is a lot better, you know, in the first BASS tournament I fished in 68, you call Alabama, finished sixth place and won $325. And so it's very difficult. And that's the other thing about it. The guys that really become the stars in the game are able to manage their finances and manage their incomes and manage their sponsorships and things of this nature that allow them, you know, when you mention names like we have mentioned here, and then you add names in there like an Al Linder, Hank Parker, we can name several others, and you realize that those individuals have got a lot of talents and skills beyond being able to catch a fish and do well in tournaments that serve them well in this game, and it would serve them well even if they were doing something else. And so that's the other part of the game in fishing that is a pretty big deal. And, you know, nowadays with social media, there's a term that has come about that everybody started calling most of us as influencers. And we never call ourselves influencers. No one used that name as an influencer. But Bill Dance is an influencer. He has been, you know, ever since he started his first local television show in Memphis, Tennessee. Al Linder is an influencer. And he takes his knowledge and uses that knowledge to influence other people to do certain things. Sometimes it's to buy a product. Sometimes it's just simply to, you know, to throw a spinnerbait on a cloudy, rainy day, you know, but he's influencing your life and the way that you fish. And that's, you know, the ones that can do that the best are the ones, obviously, that the people want to be involved with from a sponsorship standpoint. And obviously that was a big part of our game growing up. And it's still a very important part of the game today of tournament fishing.
It certainly is important because of the fact that there aren't a lot of people out there that can take the mechanics of what they're doing and translate that into words that the everyday Joe can understand. And that's what makes a fisherman valuable to a sponsor, for sure.
No, I think you're right about that, you know. And one of the things I hear, you know, with one of our YouTube channels is our devotional channel, where we read a scripture from the Word of God every day, and then we have a devotional that's built around fishing, and we have a fishing tip. So it's kind of a three-part devotional. They're 5 or 6 minutes deals, and they're in, you know, one of the books that I wrote. And a comment that I get on there frequently, and we get hundreds of comments, of course, every day, but one of the comments is, you know, you make it so easy to understand God's Word. You make it so easy to understand the Bible. You make it so easy to understand what God is asking us to do or how we're supposed to live our life out there. And you know, obviously I'm not a preacher at all. I'm a fisherman. And but you know, we do the same things in explaining the gospel as we do in explaining how to fish a spinnerbait or how to fish a crankbait or how to tie a knot or wind on fishing line or figure out a pattern. You know, it's just a, you know, down-to-earth, everyday talk, and people understand, you know, how to do it.
Well,
you know, I suspect that somebody could tell you how to do brain surgery, and if it was the right individual,
you know,
make you understand what he was doing.
Jimmy, that's probably why Christ came to us as a carpenter and spread his word through fishermen and everyday men instead of coming on
excellent.
This earth as a king.
Excellent. Excellent point, John.
Yeah.
Excellent point.
Hey, listen, you
you're
mentioned
right.
one of your good friends, too, and I'm concerned, and I'm sure a lot of us are. You mentioned Roland Martin. We know that Roland lives close to the Fort Myers area. Those people there were very adversely affected by Ian that came through there. Have you heard anything from Roland on how he weathered the storm?
Roland did well. I was in contact with Roland throughout the entire thing. I talked to him that morning before as the storm was just getting there. Roland is in Naples. Roland and Judy live in Naples, and I just spent 10 or 12 days with Roland up in Minnesota. We was running around up there fishing a lot of the Leech Lake and a lot of the other lakes up in Minnesota, doing social media videos and videos for our television show for ESPN next year, and Roland was doing television shows as well. And but I was in contact with him throughout that day, and I lost contact with him that during the storm and never didn't hear from him until the next morning, so I was a little concerned. But they got very little damage at their house. They did not have any flooding. It was wind damage is what they got, but it was very little. And so they made it just fine. I talked to several other friends down there in Florida also that and so far it's likely that somebody we know obviously suffered some big losses down there because it was so widespread. But the way that storm hit and the way the water damage did so much, you know, it was you could be just a mile or two away and not have much of damage, and a mile or two away from you, people were totally destroyed with flood waters and stuff like that. And Roland's got a canal behind his house. I've been at his house several times, and I was concerned about that canal because I know how far the canal was from his house, and I know the elevation. It was 12 foot of water is going to put water at his house. But it didn't, and I don't really totally understand that. But it didn't, and he's fine. And of course, I'll be seeing him this week also over Ray's Memorial. But I tell you what, everybody really needs to think about sending a few dollars down to those people in Florida. It's billions of dollars worth of damage, and obviously, the taxpayers of America will help in a lot of that rebuilding. But one of the things that they started down there immediately was a fund to help people, and it was 100% was going to the people, no administrative costs or salaries or anything going out of it. That money was gone, and so you know, it's a big country, 370 some odd million people. If everybody just give a few bucks, it could get into the billions pretty quickly, really, and really help those people. It's you're looking at it on television, it's just amazing. I mean, I'm just we have tornadoes here in Oklahoma, and we see areas just looks like that they've been bombed in a war, and that's sort of what that looks like down there. And it's going to take an awful long time to rebuild Florida. And it's such a great state. It's a beautiful state, a great place to fish and a great place to live. All the people who live down there love it. But they sure need all the rest of us helping them.
Oh, you're not. I don't even think television can do justice on what happened, especially in the Fort Myers area, where a lot of us that have been there before and enjoyed the town and the surrounding areas and everything, that what was heritage to that town has almost been completely wiped out. And it's going to take a long time for them to come back, but you know the people there will. And let's hope they can come back bigger and better than ever.
Well, I think they will. You know, one of the things about Americans is we go through tragedies and things like this, and we do exactly what you said. We build back bigger and better, and go on. I mean, I think back. You know, when you mentioned that, the first thing that crossed my mind was Ground Zero, where the Twin Towers was knocked down, and I've been there, and it's incredible what was rebuilt on that spot, and yet, you know, as a permanent memorial for what happened that day. We'll always be there, and yet what they built back was immaculate.
Right. Hey, Jimmy, let's talk a little bit about you, because one of the things that just always amazes me about you and Roland and Bill is your resiliency. It's the ability to keep germane and current even in this stage of your career with the everyday and the younger fishermen. And you're doing this in so many different ways, especially through your YouTube channels. And you just made an announcement that I think was pretty big. And this is why I asked you to come aboard with us. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing on YouTube to keep outdoorsmen current with what's happening in fishing and hunting.
Yeah, well, I tell you, to be honest with you, John, I'm a little surprised that Bill and Roland and I have stayed as relevant as we had with younger fishermen. And one of the times that I told, one of the things I've visited with both those guys about over the years, I said, you know, our people that are fans of ours and are following us on television and the tournament careers and things like this are going to get old. When we get old, and we're going to run out of people that care anything about us. And ironically, I was 100% wrong, thankfully, about that, because the kids, I talked about probably 500 kids crawled in and out of my Ranger boat over there at that show this past weekend. And those junior high and high school kids over there talking to me about wanting to become a tournament fisherman and be in a tournament career and talking about watching every YouTube channel we make and watching us on television and everything. And so we have stayed relevant. And I think the main thrust of that has been television, I believe. But over the last few years, you know, with social media becoming what it is, you know, and we've tried to stay current with social media as much as we can. And we've got about 140,000 people on our YouTube channels, and we got over 600,000 on our Facebook page, mm-hmm. and thousands in other venues, Twitter and Instagram and TikTok. And we actually started a TikTok channel back in December and got about 60-some-odd thousand people on that already. So we got about 1 million people total on social media. But what we did here recently, we took our YouTube channel, which was Jimmy Houston Outdoors, and we actually changed the name of that to Jimmy and Chris Houston's Twin Eagle Ranch. And the reason we did that is a lot of that channel had become a ranch channel. We have our pet deer, we have our deer that we raise, and we raise big giant bucks, and we have a lot of deer in the yard that we hand feed. We have deer that go in the boat with us. We raise baby deer that are crippled and sick and can't, we're not going to make it on their own, and we raise them and save most of them into adulthood. Obviously people fall in love with deer. And Chris, before she had her stroke, was doing a lot of the videos with the deer. And we built up a really large audience of people that was watching that as a ranch channel. And I got to notice it on there. We would only have maybe one video a week about fishing. And so I thought, you know, we're kind of taking this in the wrong direction. It's called Jimmy Houston Outdoors. So we changed that name. And then this last week, we introduced a new channel and fired a new channel up, I think, last Wednesday of last week, called Jimmy Houston Outdoors Fishing. It's just like the television show Jimmy Houston Outdoors. We added the fishing to it. And we will, with that channel, it will be totally fishing. We'll have a lot of fishing tips on there. We'll have a lot of the times when we're out fishing and doing shows for next year's television series, we'll be making those into videos that we will show, you know, within a week or so. So they'll be current stuff, whereas the stuff we do for television, if I shoot a show this next week, crappie fishing, that won't be on until sometime next year, maybe February, March, April, where we'll stick part of that. We won't stick the whole show up. It's not going to be edited into a regular television show, but we'll have that up as a video, maybe a 10 or 12 or 15-minute video, and it's a current situation. And we'll be doing a lot of tips. We'll be showing all the various knots that we tie and doing a lot of talking about whatever techniques are hot and stuff. And it'll be fishing, just talking about fishing, you know. And there's a lot of YouTube channels out there that's what they are, simply fishing. And we had kind of that's how we started ours back in 2019 as a fishing channel. And but we sort of got away from it with all the fun that we had here on at Twin Eagle Ranch. And of course, that ranch channel, it doesn't just show deer. I mean, we show all the various things. We may be moving a gun safe. We may be trapping pigs. We put a pig trap out this last week, and we've already caught 10 in that pig trap. And you know, the various things you do around a ranch. And we're very blessed to have a beautiful ranch here in southern Oklahoma. And so it kind of allows people that want to watch the ranch stuff can watch on the ranch channel. Those that are involved in fishing can watch on the fishing channel. And our devotional channel, Catch a Better Life with Jimmy Houston, that channel's got 20-some-odd thousand people on it. And it's a daily daily devotional and a word of God and a fishing tip. So it's sort of for everybody, that little channel. We're working awful hard on that. Yeah, the YouTube and Facebook and all that stuff. We do 600 or 700. Well, I guess we do over 700 videos a year, which is a lot of videos probably. But we attack the social media like we have done everything all our life. We just try to outwork everybody in the business.
Well, you know, Jimmy, your audience has probably expanded with what you've done on YouTube. You say you have excerpts from what you do on the ranch, and you're talking about the deer. But also, I know that you are probably as passionate a hunter as you are a fisherman, like so many of the pro anglers we know are. And you're probably just as happy to go on a hunting trip as you are on a fishing trip.
Oh, without a doubt. I love to hunt, you know, and we've hunted all over life, and we've hunted all over the world. And it's, you know, it's a big part of my life and always has been. And I think probably that's, you know, we're deer hunters, we're bow hunters. And I think that's one of the reasons that we're so passionate about, you know, raising deer and taking care of deer and saving deer's lives and stuff, is that, you know, we love the animals. Kind of like, even though we kill deer, we kill elk, we kill, you know, ducks and pheasant and quail, and we do all this hunting and killing. But, you know, as a hunter, you know, we love conservation. Fishing, we're able to, you know, expand fishing, catch a fish and turn it loose. You obviously can't do that in hunting, but most hunters become to the point to where they are more conservationists than they are a hunter. They conserve way more than they kill. And they reach into their pockets and spend a lot of money to make hunting better and have more, you know, more quail, more turkey, more pheasant, more elk, more deer, more whatever. And the fishing, we're fortunate in the fact that we can catch and release. We can use various laws to make the fishing better. And honestly, fishing is better right now in the United States of America than it's ever been, I believe. I mean, that's, you know, I've got friends that they're fishing out there at Idaho right now. One of them caught a smallmouth bass yesterday, weighed almost 9 pounds. Yeah. The other one caught one just right at 7.
Well, not
you know, I guess the best smallmouth bass fishing in the world out there, in Idaho. Think about that.
You know, not only that, though, but, you know, we don't want to sound snobbish, the fact that we, you know, are going after bass all the time. The popularity of crappie fishing is probably as big, if not bigger, from non-professional anglers as bass fishing is. And you get catfishing, and then down your part of the world and along the south coast, you get redfish, you get salmon, you get walleye. Fishing is probably, and Johnny Morris is probably clapping his hands for it, is as popular as it's ever been.
Well, it really is, and, you know, COVID did a lot of damage in a lot of situations, but it really actually helped fishing. More people fishing now because of COVID. A lot of people, they couldn't go to work or shut down and couldn't do various things. A lot of them simply lost their jobs, but a lot of them, you know, couldn't work or was having to work from home. And more people fished during these last 2 years than ever. License sales went up about 20%. And and you're right. You know, we're not snobbish at all about bass. I grew up catching everything. I paid my way through college selling catfish. I caught literally thousands of them. And catfishing is probably the most popular fishing in the country, and probably crappie second as far as freshwater. And then bass probably would be third. And I know, you know, our Jimmy Houston rods that we do for High Tech, or we sell more catfishing rods than we do bass fishing rods.
Well,
and,
you know,
you mentioned Johnny Morris. I think they bought like two container loads of catfish rods. They're a rod and reel combination, you know, a spinning rod combination. And the thing about fishing that makes it such a great sport and compared to every other sport or hobby in the world is that you can do it with a piece of string and a piece of wire and make a hook out of it, put a cricket or a worm on it, and go down there and drop it in some water and catch a fish. Or you can do it in a $100,000 Ranger boat or a $5 million yacht. I mean, and everything in between. And you can do it when you're 5 years old or 4 years old. You can do it when you're 105 years old and everywhere in between. So that's the thing about this sport that's made it so great. And success is predicated not by really and truly what you catch, unless you are a tournament fisherman. It's predicated by how much fun you have, how you enjoy yourself, the memories you make with your family, with your friends, the new friends that you make in fishing. You know, one of the things that we talked about Ray Scott earlier, John, one of the things that I think that is the most important thing that he did is he put a lot of people together throughout their lifetimes that have become so important to each other and become such great friends. And many of the most all of the names that we've mentioned here this evening are great friends of mine that likely I would never have met had it not been for bass fishing.
Jimmy, we got about 3 or 4 minutes left here. Tell me, you know, we've been talking about diversification and how you've adapted over the years. Tell me about Jimmy Houston, the pecan farmer.
Well, actually, we'll start taking orders here in about another week or so.
All right.
On getting the pricing structure, which is difficult right now. But we do have about 1,000 trees here on Twin Eagle Ranch, and we do sell a lot. We sell most of our pecans to a processor, and you know, and they simply process them and sell them, and like any other farmer sells their crops. But we do sell a lot through the Internet, we promote them through all of our social media. We have a pecan phone number that folks can call and order pecans, and our pecans are all shipped fresh, and that's the biggest difference in them. And pecans you buy at the store, but all the pecans you buy at stores have been frozen, and then you freeze them and they last a long time. But it's just not the same thing. And for a fisherman, the best analogy, and it's absolutely the truth, because I hear all the time that we have the best tasting pecans in the world, and I agree that we do. But the only reason it is because they're fresh. It's kind of like going out and catching a bunch of crappie or walleye or redfish and filleting half of them and eating them for dinner that night and freezing the other half and eating them 3 or 4 weeks from now. Those that you have for dinner tonight that are fresh are going to taste way better than those you stuck in that freezer. And that's exactly the way those pecans are. So, they can go to jimmyhouston.com and we'll have those pecan prices up there. They can give us a call, we're easily reachable through a lot of different venues our internets, our websites, our YouTube channels, everything. We'll be promoting those pecans, and I think we'll start taking orders. Usually we start about the first week in October, which is this week right here, so probably by the end of the week we'll have all our pricing structures figured out, and we probably will not have to go up on the pecans. We'll probably have to go up a little bit on freight this year, the shipping cost of it. Mm-hmm. But we'll be shipping them all away probably through the end of December, maybe a week or two into January. We quit shipping the pecans when we can't ship fresh ones anymore. So,
all right. Jimmy, lastly, before we let you go, we talked about all the things that you are doing on YouTube and some of the other social media outlets. How do we catch up with you and find out where we can view you, where we can TikTok you, where we can get our daily devotion? How's the best way about putting this thing in a package so that we can take advantage of it?
You can probably just search Jimmy Houston. They'll probably come up with all of them. But our ranch channel is Jimmy and Chris Houston's Twin Eagle Ranch, TWIN, and Eagle, the bird, Twin Eagle Ranch. Our new fishing channel is Jimmy Houston Outdoors Fishing, which is very easy to remember that. And the other channel is Catch a Better Life with Jimmy Houston. Catch a Better Life, which is what all of us are trying to do every day that we're alive, is make our lives better and make somebody else's life better at the same time. And it's the daily devotional channel, and it's we put up a video every day at 5 o'clock central, which will be 3 o'clock in the morning out where you are. But it's up there on YouTube permanently, so you can look at it anytime during the day, and it will absolutely change your life. And not the devotional, but what God will do in your life, and how, you know, you're honoring God just by just by listening to or reading a daily devotional, just by listening to or reading a scripture, you're honoring God. And when you honor God, he honors you.
We're going to end at that, Jimmy. Thanks a lot for being with us tonight. Safe trip to Alabama. Please remember us to all your friends there. Sorry we can't be with you, but it's going to be a grand event, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of stories told. We can't thank you enough for being with us tonight.
Appreciate it, John. You're doing a great job out there, buddy. I love you.
Thank you, my friend. You take care. Hey, and that's it for tonight, everyone. On behalf of Israel and our AM 540 studios, Ben Harvey, our local producer, and always in memory of Big Toot and Bill, Eddie McCune, and Mr. Paul Leader. That's it for tonight. Tune in next Sunday night, 5:05 p.m. here on AM 540 for another live edition of Rod Reel Radio. So until then, go out and get them because someone else is getting your fish or they're getting away. Good night, everyone.
But there's a sign upon your door.
Uh-huh.
Gone fishing.
I'm real gone, man.
You ain't working anymore.
Could be.
There's your hole out in the sun where you left a row half done. You claim that hoeing ain't no fun.
But I can prove it.
You ain't got no ambition.